voices from the past. If I read to you from one verse from the 11th chapter of Hebrews again tonight, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The reason it was more excellent, it was what God recognized. It's not always the value of the offering, it's the spirit in which you give it. And by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, God testifying of his sacrifices that he made. Even God testifies, not like we have a testimony service, but God testifying of Abel's gifts, and by it he, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. So there are voices, even from dead men, who are yet speaking. I read where a sound never stops. Like a radio signal. Brother Jackson probably knows more about this. I know he knows more than I do. He could probably do a better job explaining it. The only problem, when he explains it, I don't understand it. So I'll try. But I did read that that signal just starts and keeps going. That's the reason it does not take a real powerful radio signal to come back from the moon or from Mars or some other distant place, as the radios are sent into space, sending back signals. That doesn't take a lot of equipment. It may take sophisticated equipment, but not a lot of powerful tubes and transformers and a lot of electricity. But I understand that some of those things generates its own electricity, maybe that's left on the moon and other places, from the rays of the sun and up to send back signals all that 240,000 miles from the moon, or maybe millions of miles from outer space. All I'm saying is those signals, I understand, keep going. In fact, someone told me that the things that I'm saying now, that this sound starts here and like a wave on the lake, it goes out past you and you feel the vibrations as it passes you, and it keeps going out, 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 and what I'm saying now is going into eternity as far as science is concerned, to last forever and forever. That's beyond me. It's even been said that someone may bring some radio pickup receiver into existence that can pick up voices from the past. They may and they may not. But there are voices from the past that speaketh. Abel's voice is one of them. Praise God. He's dead, but his deeds, his work, and his sacrifice, his gift, God testified. So God amplified the work of Abel, making it still reach even until this day. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, I know that I think I preached on this one time here before, and I called it Dead Men Do Speak. Some of you may have it marked in your Bible. Now, don't get offended at me sort of rehashing tonight. I felt like preaching this to you tonight, and after all, you eat steak more than one time, and if I find something, you sang the same songs more than once. Why can't I bring you the same scripture and basically the same thought? Because somebody's here that needs to know God tonight, and we're here fishing for you, reaching for you. Lift your hand one more time and ask God to move in our midst. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No. I remember a man whose name was Frank McLean. His widow, after his passing, married Sister Betty's grandpa. Right. I performed that ceremony. I said the ceremony. Dad Rooks cried. We had a beautiful wedding. But Frank McLean was a man. I believe his name was Frank. It was McLean. All right. He was a man that claimed to be an atheist. He claimed that he did not believe in God. His wife was a faithful member of the Moore Church where I was pastoring. But Mr. McLean made it plain to everyone that he talked to, my wife goes to church, but he would grumble about her going, and he would say, I myself do not believe. I do not believe in God. Now that's a bad position for anybody to be in, but did you know that you are a target to not believe in God if you don't respond to God? When God deals with you, when God talks to you, when God tries to persuade you to give your heart to God, you're setting yourself up open for a channel to have your mind closed. You may never say, I'm an atheist, but by action, by work, Cain. Look at Cain. He didn't know enough about God to give to God what pleased God. Now, had he known about God as he should have, second generation folks, had he known about God as he should have, he would have offered unto God the things that would please him. But not so. You know, we know enough about our parents to know what pleases them. You kids know how to please your folks. That's the reason you got that new dress or those new shoes or that new bicycle, because you knew how to please your folks and you won favor with them. Say, we should be close enough to God to know how to please Him, Brother Barry. I know so many times I've grieved God myself. Don't you feel you have? But we should be close enough to God and know His will enough to know how to please Him. In fact, I think we know how to sing to please God. I really do. And sometimes we don't do it. That's dangerous. That's bad. If we know what God likes, sing unto the Lord. Worship unto the Lord. Dance unto the Lord. Not for your own fleshly satisfaction, but when you dance unto the Lord, you're doing just that. You're praising Him. You're honoring Him. You're loving Him. Praise God Almighty. He's a good God. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother McLean, Mr. McLean, he was working in the woods and talking about the usual things. Reached down to pick up a saw jack where they'd laid the poles in it to saw the wood, and throws it up on the wagon load of wood. And he said, I won't be using that anymore. The last words that he was ever to utter in this world. When he said that, he falls over on his face and with a heart attack, I suppose, and left this world. The neighborhood was alarmed in just a few minutes. I went with several people down to the woods where he was. We had to walk way out in the middle of the woods. We'd taken a large chair and set him down in that chair, and I walked behind and held his head as two other men carried him from the woods out to where the ambulance could come and pick him up. And I sat with that man in the home. They brought his body to the home, and another fellow whose name was Leonard and myself sat all night with the corpse. Now, he wasn't going anywhere, but that's a custom that you do it that way. Everybody else went to bed. And you know, I got the feeling that he is breathing. And besides them cats, now this is the truth, those cats climbing on the outside of the screen. I don't know what in the world makes them creatures do that, but they'll do it. And squall like a panther. Scary. And to cap it all off, about 3 o'clock, Mr. Leonard said, now I've got to work tomorrow. And if you don't mind, from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock, that's the worst time. If you don't believe it, ask these fellows at the worst graveyard. That's a bad time, isn't it? Amen. And he said, I'm sure you don't mind. He didn't really ask me. He told me with his question. So I'm going to go on and let you sit here the rest of your night yourself. I got me a cane bottom chair and sat backwards in that chair, put my head on the ladder behind it, you know, and had that fellow behind me. I'm not superstitious. I'm not scared. But sometimes I do get scared that I'm going to get scared, you know. Wouldn't bother you? Every once in a while, John, honestly, I'd look back over my shoulder, see if he's still there. Sure enough, he was. My own father passed away, Melody, stood and looked in that casket. And as she stood there breathing and looking at him, she forgot she was the one that was doing the breathing. And Melody said, "Paul's breathing," because she felt that he was. Now, I'm just trying to be a little funny to get your attention, but I want you to know that voices from the past do cry out. Let me tell you just a few of them. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is full of men who has lived it before us. Now, this side of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we know many people whose voice still rings out, reaching us day after day, time after time. I can hear Mother Raines testifying with her trembling voice. I can hear Grandmother Johnson in another church who died when she was 80-something year old. I can hear her as she would rise to the testimony service, first one, and she'd always say, "I want to be first because I don't want to be second when Jesus comes. I want to be first to meet Him." And I can hear other voices from the past. I remember Brother B.H. Height in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, 35 years ago, took a bunch of young preachers, I was one of them, in the Sunday school room. With a dawdling head, that old man said, "Brethren, one of these days it's not going to be long until I'm going to have to pass from the scene of action. My days are not long here. It's going to be up to young men like you to hold the torch high, to live the life, and preach the word." Now, every once in a while, I run into hardships, and I remember how that man was beaten for the cause of God. Then I remember how he said, "Hold the banner high, hold the torch high, and preach the word and live the life." He's been dead for 30 years, but somehow his voice, not like a spook, not like a ghost story that I've been trying to rally your mind to thinking, not like that, but something about the past is compelling me to go on. If I read the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it begins in this manner. Seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. The witnesses was Abel, was Joshua, was Moses, was Abraham, was many others that's mentioned, and then others that were not mentioned, that's compelling us. They lived it without promise. They lived it without experiences, we know it. They lived it without baptism in Jesus' name. They lived it without the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. They lived it without regeneration. They lived it by contract. They lived it by promise. They lived it by hope, looking forward to a better day. Oh, if you tune in, you can hear some of those sounds from yesteryear. Listen to me. I say Abraham didn't know God as we know Him, not belittling his experience. But those men looked forward to it. Remember how he walked? He searched, he went, he traveled day by day, not knowing where he was going. He was looking for something, for a city, amen, without foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Somehow, if you tune in, you can hear his footsteps tonight. What are you looking for? Listen, we are very, very, very into the very center of the thing that Abraham was looking for. We've already received the earnest of our inheritance, and we know this is going to get better. He sought for this. He looked, and somehow when I think about that man, day by day he didn't know where he was going. He was just going at the voice of God. He was not just a stranger by himself. He had family. He had animals. He had others that were traveling with him, one step at a time, one day at a time. That compels me. I've got a car to ride in. I've got a refrigerator to keep my food in. Got a little old deep freeze with a few things in it. Got a little money in the bank. Got good clothes to wear, good shoes to wear. Praise God, a good family, a good church, a good neighborhood, a good country, and the precious truth of Almighty God. I've got advantage over those people. Praise God. They're compelling me. They're saying, if I could do it under adverse circumstances, you can do it with an apostolic church. Praise God. If they can live it without promise, we can live it with promise. If they can live it without experience, say, we can live it with the experience. Praise God forever. One of the greatest characters, and Brother Jackson testified about this one just the other night. To my thinking, one of the greatest characters, and I think this is what he said of the entire 11th chapter, is a woman whose name was Rahab. She had every disadvantage. Every disadvantage. She was not of the Hebrew people to begin with. This gave her a great disadvantage. I think I told you some time ago where this black movie star with a flat nose, who? Little fella. Boy, you're all up to date on that. I prized that out of you, you know that? Sammy Davis Jr., I knew. I just seen if you knew, see? I read where Frank Sinatra beat him playing golf. Big deal. But he said the reason that Sinatra beat me is because I'm handicapped. And somebody said, handicapped? And he said, I only have one eye, and I'm black, and I'm a Jew. And don't you think that's handicapped? And of course, he's a Jew only by the method of being a proselyte, by conversion, not by birth, I wouldn't think. All right. But Rahab the harlot was handicapped. Really? Someone said a harlot didn't mean a harlot. To me, a harlot means a harlot. I had a Sunday school teacher one time in a conference. He straightened me out on that, or at least he thought he did. He said that she wasn't a harlot. And I said, the book said it was. And he said that just meant an innkeeper. Well, I think a lot of those are harlots too. But I honestly think she's everything the Bible indicates she was. And I like that. Not that I like the fact that she was a harlot, but I'm appreciative to know that someone can come out of nothingness and find God. Praise God. And with every disadvantage against him. Now, this story is that, and I'll not go into great length, you're aware with these stories from the Old Testament, I'm sure. But when the spies came and looked over Jericho and was going to take it, she recognized who they were and what their reputation was. She knew what God could do for his people. And she bargained with them. Maybe you think it was just for survival. Well, it was that, but it was more than that. If you didn't know it, the church is a survival place. This is a bomb shelter. This is a safe place. You're safer here. I'm not just talking about the four walls. I'm talking about inside the faith. You're safer here than anywhere else in the world. Praise the Lord. And it was survival. But it's more than that, because that story still goes. And it's listed among the heroes of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. So the story goes on. Rahab the harlot. Praise God. And she only had one little sign, and it seems so insignificant, but not so. She let out this scarlet thread over the wall, and this was a signal and an indication. But it must have meant more than that. It must have meant like Abel's sacrifice. It must have been a shadow of something else. You see, Abel being dead yet speaketh. And it seemed to me like that little scarlet cord that she dropped out over the walls, that the people might see that her testimony was still real and that God is still real. It seemed to me like it's a mighty long string. It seemed to me like that it come down over the walls of Jericho, which I understand they were quite wide. Wide enough for what? 6 chariots, I believe I read, to travel abreast across the top of that thing. What a miracle when that wall fell flat. Like a gigantic levee, really. And it fell flat. Praise the Lord. By the power of God. Someone said it was the vibration of them priest trumpets. That's a lot of trumpet. Amen. Somebody said a lot of things. But I'll tell you what it was. It was when people began to pray for the Lord to have His way. When people obeyed God, great things began to happen. So when she let out this cord, this red scarlet cord, and it reached over the wall, down to the very side, it seems to me like through the ages, God is letting this cord just keep reaching. Like Abel's sacrifice. Praise God. Like Abraham's walking. I hear him tonight. I'm not so interested in ghost stories, but I'm interested in good men that's lived behind me. Praise God, because I read that we are come, as I said a while ago, to the place that Abraham was looking for. We found it. We have come to Zion. We've come to the New Jerusalem. In a spiritual sense, we have found everything that Abraham was looking for. Oh, glory to God. Now, since I know that, why can't I rejoice in the Lord? Why can't I live right? Why should I be discouraged? Why should I be disgruntled? Why should I think about giving up? That should never cross a Christian's mind. Right. Somebody said, I've been thinking about backsliding, quitting the church. Well, yeah, Fitz, I guess you already backslide. If you've been thinking about quitting, you've already quit before you knew it. You don't plan on backsliding. You don't plan on getting out. I remember a woman that I met some time ago in her family. She played the organ in church, and she had three children, two girls and a young son. The two girls, I believe, in the church, the young son seeking God for the Holy Ghost. And when I went back to this church the other day, I noticed that this one was not present. And naturally you inquire, what's wrong? Where? To come up with an ugly story. This woman worked a half day at a place and had for a long time. She has a husband that makes about $40,000 a year. They have a nice two-bed, two-story home. They have three lovely children. It looked like they had everything that young people, young parents, could ever want in this life. Her husband seemed like such a fine, wonderful fellow that loves God and goes to church and makes a good living, and he was offered a $10,000 annual raise on the job that he has if he'd moved to Chicago. But because he loved his church enough, he turned down that raise to live there in the church and work for God in the church. Oh, that's powerful, folks. That seems me like things like that goes down in the 11th chapter of Hebrews for a future generation, if there is a future generation. Somebody gave $10,000. See, that's like giving $10,000 a year to your church. When you turn down $10,000 a year, advancement to keep your Sunday school class, to keep your place, to keep the fires burning, to pray and seek God, that's as if you would write a check for $10,000 and give it to the cause of God. Come and find out, this woman had called her family together and announced that she was leaving with a broom. And it just chills me to think about it. It's bad that she left those children. I watched a teenage girl, 15-year-old, as she stood in the service the other night during prayer service, and with a trembling voice, she said, not loudly, but quietly, loud enough that those up toward front could hear, and she said, pray for my mom. Oh, what's that going to do to that 15-year-old girl? What's that going to do to that 13-year-old boy? What's that going to do to that 11-year-old girl? What's that going to do to a husband that loved God enough to give his life for his family and for his church? Isn't the devil a big old devil? I despise him. Somebody said you're not supposed to even hate the devil. Devil, be informed. Marvin Rutledge Jr. hates you, that tears up home and wrecks churches and keeps sinners out of the altar and keeps backsliders from coming home. Oh, yes, devil, in the name of Jesus, we're declaring war on you. Come find out this man had been carrying this load for years. That no good woman maybe never knew God. Possibly never knew God. Playing the organ for an apostolic church. Maybe never knew God. Work a half a day and flirt a half a day. It didn't just happen. It had been happening all along. He covered up for her. It was his wife. He covered. You say he shouldn't have done it. You cover up for your kids sometimes because they're your children. You cover up for your friends because you don't want them. Joseph thought his his wife-to-be was guilty. He thought she was guilty. He covered up for her, or would have, to keep her from being a public example. He would have kept it from being a scandal. Oh, God help us who want to scandalize everything. He tried to hide it. He tried to hide it. And God said in the case of Joseph, take her. She's a virgin. Praise God. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So he bore that reproach. And he took that pregnant wife to be his wife. The baby that she was carrying was not his, but it was a baby of the Holy Ghost. But the world didn't know that. They lied about it. They pointed accusation families toward him, just like they'll point toward you. But it pays to serve God as you know to serve him anyhow. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Glory. Now you want to hear the beautiful side of this? You want to hear the beautiful side of this ugly story I just told you? I embraced that man the other night and whispered in his ear, I'm praying for you. I've heard a little. I've heard more than I wanted to hear. And I'm praying for you. And you know what he said to me? Pray that God will send her back. What love. If I understand this, he's not under obligation to take her back if she's what they said. If I understand, he's not. But love is a different thing. Praise God. And the church is a different thing. What a blessing. What a love. What a man. What a man that be willing to take her back with the whole town scandalized, with the whole church upset, with his children upset. Oh, but I only mention that to tell you who were we, sinners, disgraceful, despisable, hateful, cursing, bitterness, drunken, sometimes whoredom, sometimes adulteries, sometimes fornication, sometimes thievery. And God only knows where we've been. God only knows where we've been. A man come to me just the other night, and he said, I hope you won't feel hard at me for me telling you who I have been. Before he could tell me who he had been, I said, that don't really make any difference where you have been or what you've been. It's what you are and where you are and where you're going from here. He went on to tell me that he'd been in prison. He spent a long time in prison. He found God in prison. Wonderful. Praise God. If he had to go to prison to find God, wonderful. Hallelujah. I feel sorry for these two fellows that's on death row down here. But they'd have probably never been baptized in Jesus' name if they hadn't have got in prison and on death row. So I'm glad that they heard the message. If they had to go to death row to hear it, I'm glad Brother Mansfield was able to go down and whisper in their ear the truth of the baptism in Jesus' name. And wherever you are and whoever you are, I want you to know tonight the string of Rahab. Oh, it's still being let out. The sounds of Abraham's feet. Trudge, trudge, trudge. Praise God. Echoing that they were looking for something that we found. And Abel, as he pulls the knife on that little lamb or whatever it was he offered, and the bleeding lamb. In fact, it don't bleat, but if you could hear it in his playfulness as it jubilantly bleated out on the hillside somewhere, now as it dies as a prefigure of him that's going to die for the sins of the world. And I don't say he's going to die now. I say he did die for my sins and for your sins. Praise the Lord. But somehow, Abel saying, if I could worship God with a pattern, if I could worship God with a hope, if I could worship God looking forward to it, surely after it's happened, surely after it becomes an experience, surely you can worship God and live for God. What in the world is that I see? I see a crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary. That's what Rahab's scarlet thread represented. And here it comes. It comes down off the walls of Jericho. And it comes right on down even to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. 1900 years after the blood was actually offered. Here comes that stream from Calvary. Oh, praise God, if you'll just feel a little bit tonight, you can feel the penetrating, convicting, I said penetrating, convicting, towers of the crimson stream of Calvary. Rahab's thread represented this, a woman who didn't know much about God, but she recognized God's people, and she let out a signal. She let out a stream, a red crimson thread that represented blood that was going to flow from the side of your Redeemer and mine. Oh, praise God, precious blood. Precious blood that came out of that side. A fountain opened up in the house of David. Somebody said that's going to be a spring in Jerusalem. Oh no, it was a spring in Jerusalem, all right, but it came forth from the side of your Redeemer and mine. And that blood still flows. And you can repent because of that blood. And you can be buried with Him because of that blood. And you can receive the Holy Ghost because of that blood. And you can have victory because of that blood.
Making a run for your life tonight. Hallelujah. You ought to be making a run for your life tonight, friend. Thank you, Jesus. It's way which reaches the throne of God. Our sweeping over.